Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod. Many boats, and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast where we discuss and celebrate everything from the Star Wars galaxy and much, much more. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And Captain Matt Romano.
Greetings.
Our reprogrammed Imperial Interrogator droid, AZ-00, also called Azu, also, in his own mind, a now star of stage and screen, is not with us this week, but he sent in a message.
Oh.
You guys heard his message?
I haven't yet, but I'm curious to hear from him.
Same. Right, I feel like you're about to play it for us.
It's the finale. He doesn't show up for the finale.
Yeah, come on, man.
Ridiculous.
No, here. Let me play it.
Okay.
Yeah, I am having a good time in L.A. with Keisha and Katie, and I don't want to come back yet, so I'm going to be me. You know, you do you, and, like, deal with it. Like, I'm blowing up. Coming, Katie. She has Nepenthe.
What?
Great.
Bro, we made you.
Thank you, Azu.
What?
Can his voice get any more annoying? Is that
what
possible?
What is happening?
He's gone very L.A.
He really has. A lot of that, I don't know what do you call
Valley
it.
Valley baby over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd say we'll look forward to him returning, but I would be lying. Okay. We're recording on April 19th, 2023, and we're going to be jumping into the Season 3 finale, Chapter 24, of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
But before we do that, let's go to some news on the march.
News on the march.
Okay, we touched on this last week, but Return of the Jedi is returning to cinemas. The exact dates, if you want to take advantage of this fine opportunity, April 28th to May 4th in the United States. And that has been News on the March.
Succinct. Love it.
Quick
great.
One.
Great.
Quick one.
Perfect.
Big episode.
Big episode. We got to get to the finale.
Finale, baby.
Here at the end of the season. Feels like just yesterday. With that, we're going to charge into Chapter 24 of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
This episode is brand new, and we don't want to spoil you for any of it, so be warned that we're about to get into severe spoiler territory after the spoiler klaxon is heard. Spoilers will come. Fate of the Furious. To sound the klaxon once again, our friend Werner Herzog.
Yes.
I have accidentally destroyed my Nintendo Switch Lite with a reproduction of the Master Sword, so I am playing NBA Jam on a refitted console.
Boom
but the
shakalaka.
Point remains that I would like to see the baby, so sound the spoiler klaxon, and what is there, Caitlin and Bush?
There is a clear order in which to watch Star Wars The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 8, and then listen to our podcast.
Here we go again. Punch it.
But bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
Bit of that
The Mandalorian
that.
Season 3, Episode 8, premiered on Disney Plus on April 19th, 2023, directed by Rick Famuyiwa.
Nice.
Doubleheader, double episode.
Yeah.
From the great Rick Famuyiwa, written by Jon Favreau. And here we are. We pick right up. No time. No time is lost. We pick right up where we left off.
Yeah, no time is lost. I think we might have speculated there'd be a little, you know, montage of time going by or something.
Nope.
You speculated that. Did I? Was it me? Did I speculate
straight,
that?
Straight cliffhanger into the answer to the cliffhanger.
There you go. Yeah, done.
That's easy peasy. This opportunity to point out, we were wrong about so many things.
So many things.
Everything ended up being so much simpler than it actually was.
Yes.
Look,
yes.
The important thing is that we can admit when we are wrong, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were wrong.
However, however, just be wrong. Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
I mean, it's the most wrong we've ever been. I don't think we got anything right about this episode.
I mean, that's not theories. We're like, this is fact.
No, yeah, that's true.
We just had theories. It's like, this is what could happen. Yeah. It turns out we were wrong about every single
one. All of our theories were very wrong.
All season long. But whatever.
Yeah, no, we've been screwing up left and right over here. It's just Door City.
Door City over here.
Yes.
Okay, picking up right where we left off, like I said, Bo-Katan leading the team through the caves while Axe Woves on his way to the fleet. And we were just talking about this before we started recording. He's jetpacking right up into the atmosphere and then right up to the ship. It's a long way.
That is one hell of a jetpack.
Yeah. And I just got a text from our friend of the show, David, who usually live tweets our episodes, at least. And he's the one who always calls out and much, much more. And then throws in a picture of Chinatown because he's the only one that gets certain references. And he was like, OK, so not all jetpacks are made the same, because if we remember a few episodes ago, Paz and Mando couldn't even get to the bat with their jetpacks. Meanwhile, the Night Owl jetpacks, I guess, from Axe Wolves can go all the way to space.
He's got like the version 5 or
something.
He's
got like NASA level jetpacks over here.
Yeah. I thought we were going to get like a Tony Stark moment when he just froze up and fell back to the earth. Like, he got a little too far.
Yeah. Hey, Axe, how'd you solve the icing problem?
Wow.
But he gets up there. He gets the fleet. And what can be said about Mandos and jetpacks other than they have been doing this? But the point remains, they fly now.
They fly now.
They fly now.
They fly now? They fly now.
They've been flying for a while, but still.
But now a lot of them fly now.
A lot of them fly, and they fly really fast.
Yeah. It bears repeating. Fast and far.
And furious.
One quarter mile at a time.
I don't have friends. I got family.
So the plan is Bo needs to get everyone on the ground because she's like, we have no chance in a space battle. And it turns out she is right. Mm-hmm. Mando does not get tortured by Moff Gideon at all.
Nope.
Convinced this was going to happen. Doesn't happen. He's about a couple seconds in the custody of a couple dark troopers and then escapes with his bare hands. And I thought at one point a pair of little scissors, like traveling scissors. But maybe I saw that wrong. And they try and grab. Their grapples don't look very good. The dark trooper grapples. Yeah. They try and get him, and then they try and flame him. And then he turns the flame on another one and roasts him alive.
Yeah, they're trying everything.
Yeah. And then he gets a big assist from Grogu, who it turns out didn't go through the hole with Bo-Katan. Stuck around. We just didn't show it for this reveal, I'm imagining. And the two of them are now going to go after Moff Gideon. They are done running. And as Mando says to Grogu,
if we don't take out Moff Gideon, this will never end. You with me?
And we don't get a yes from Grogu. I was expecting one. Caitlin, right. I wish were you?
Yeah, we know that little man loves to say yes and no. So, you know.
Yeah, seems like a missed opportunity to get one in there.
I kind of like that they didn't, because and when I rewatched it, it would have been a little much, because we just go from, it's clear that Grogu is definitely with him and it's more personal. Like, of course, Daddy, I'm always with you.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
Yeah. So he's doing it with his eyes.
And when happens later, it's more of a personal connection, because based off of Grogu's reaction, cut to title, chapter 24, The Return. So
The Return. Yeah,
immediately here, I'm thinking, well, this is obviously returning to Mandalore, but who else? What double meaning could it be?
Who else could possibly return? You know, I had some thoughts. I right away, I was like, ooh, that's an intriguing title.
There were a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. It's like Boba Fett averted.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Spoiler alert.
Or to put it more appropriately, no, we won't.
No.
Like a bantha. Yes.
So anyway, TIE interceptors and bombers are going after the Mando fleet. Axe Wolves arrives on the cruiser and he gets everyone to evacuate it. And they all get on the gauntlets and he is fending off the TIEs for a little bit, does what he can with the big cruiser guns. And this was a nice little bit of starship maneuvering, I thought.
Yeah. Big damn hero over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Axe Wolves.
Yeah.
Catch the fever.
Hey, baby.
He had the fever. But I'll tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I thought he was like a spy, like up until the minute he crashed that thing into the ground. I mean,
I thought he was a spy. And then there's another Mando who, when he's evacuating, he kind of turns and gives him a look.
Yeah, like the whole lead up, and like they had to have done this on purpose.
There's something suspicious there.
Yeah, they added so much misdirection, I feel, with this. Like it's almost like they had an opportunity to hear the fans speculating and then quickly reshot all of this to make him shady AF.
Last
week. They got him back on the volume and they redid this whole thing.
I don't think that's how the Force works. But okay.
Suspicious.
But you know what I mean? Like, you thought he was good. I thought he was going to be a bad guy. Did anybody in this moment?
At this point in the episode, I didn't know what to expect. But, and the guy turns a look, I'm like suspecting everyone. And then it turns out it's like, maybe I have trust issues.
maybe we're all really traumatized, but yeah, you know, it's neither here nor there.
Maybe it could be that.
It could be that.
We just expect the worst now from everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cheers.
And now maybe we'll think differently after this episode. Mm-hmm. Mando and Baby have to get through the Moff's many, many laser doors. Mm-hmm. As we were talking about these laser doors last week, if you really squint, you can see Qui-Gon meditating.
I was going to say, as we've said, it's very reminiscent of that.
Yeah, there's like five or six. But of course, we know, as we've already said, the rule with laser doors in your evil base is
never more than 12.
Yeah, that many? Wow, there that's a lot of them.
Yeah, never more. Never more than that.
All right.
Mando has some help from R5, who now gets a chance to show that he truly is built for adventure. He deploys rocket boosters.
Yeah.
So many rockets and flying and
everybody gets to fly.
Everyone gets to fly.
Yeah. So he flies now.
They fly now? They fly now.
So Pelimoto upgraded him, or this is a thing he's always have? We don't know. And we get some classic R2 action here, especially because there's some moments where it's definitely he's just a droid being controlled.
Right.
And then there was another shot where he kind of leans his head around a corner, which really was a touch of BB-8, I thought.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So he's a lot of R2, a little BB-8, and then just, you know, R5, his own being.
And I love how just like how janky he is. Like he's obviously nervous and has like an anxiety. So even
Performance anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. Like even he's like getting his little,
who doesn't?
Right. His little scomp out, you know, it doesn't really like come out smooth, you know, it comes out a little rough, you know? I don't know.
Well, that's it. He's trying to help Mando by scomping into the system. And it's a classic.
Caitlin's giving me a look. Yeah. Yeah, that was the right way to say that.
Do you have scomp performance issues, Matt?
I don't have scomp performance issues.
It sounds like you might.
I like it when he's trying to get rid of the mouse droids. I like it when he brings out his little zapper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of want to unpack this scomp thing with Matt.
We got a lot of episode left.
He's scomping in, and it's always cool. I like the classic scomp turning thing is always a fun thing to
do. Always satisfying.
Good times. And Caitlin, as you said, he's trying to help Mando, but he has to fend off a mouse droid, which it's not quite BB-8 and BB-9E and Last Jedi, but
it has like a little siren that starts going off.
Yeah, because he turns out he has an electroshock prod too, so he shocks off the one. Mando and Baby are getting through. They're really tag teaming it here, and there's a lot of this more teamwork going on in this episode, not only between Mando and Baby, but now with R5, even though there's a little delay in here. There's Mando keeps trying to nab a blaster from one of the troopers, but they keep falling down the shaft before he can grab it.
It gets to the point where it's truly hilarious. Like, you know that he's just sitting there like swearing under his breath.
Oh, guys are falling off the bridge. He's trying to catch them. Yeah.
He reaches for, he full on like leaps for it. At one point it's right out. And you could see, it's like, oh, come on.
So good.
And I was like, okay, Why is there always a bridge over a long hole where you're fighting? It must be Star Wars. That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
So they get through, and Mando tells R5 that he did good. So, Caitlin and Bush, would you say this is another step on Din Djarin's grand journey with droids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The love that he shows, the respect that he shows for R5. And despite the fact that when he has a little bit of delay, obviously gets a little impatient, but even then, even when R5 isn't absolutely perfect, still praises him for a job well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he called him buddy.
He calls him buddy.
Yeah, he says, need your help, buddy.
I need you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cute.
That's nice.
That's nice. You like it's to nice, see it. Isn't it. You know, it's nice to see.
It's fun.
Yeah,
but when you expect the worst from everybody and then R5 shows up and just proves, you know.
That's exactly what it is.
Anyone can be a hero.
Anybody. Yeah.
We are all the Bad Batch.
We are all the Bad Batch.
So R5 rockets away from many more mouse droids and he's out.
They
and
all
safe.
Like surround him like a little knife gang.
They have little sirens. They got little LED sirens.
Do you think, is this, I mean, I was going to say, you know, have mouse droids ever been this threatening, but have they ever been threatening at all before?
No.
I honestly have never even stopped once to think, like, what do they do? Like, what do they do? What do those things do? What are they
doing? Like, carrying information.
Why is everything so weird and analog sometimes in Star Wars? Like, what's it doing? Why do they need
that
this?
Thing? What is this?
I look at my Roomba every day.
Yeah.
Her name is DJ Roomba.
That's a good name.
And she regularly reminds me of a mouse droid. You know, she's circular. But I feel like in my heart of hearts, like I feel like mouse droids obviously carry information, but I also feel like they're little vacuum cleaners.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Why do some Costco still use those pneumatic tubes to transfer money and information?
You know, that's just good fun. That's just good old American
fun.
Well,
so are the mouse droids. As opposed to a Star Wars show.
Mouse droids are just cool, good old classic
it's like
American
Costco
fun.
Costco is fun, but the Star Wars, I mean. I don't know where you're coming from.
Listen, you know, I don't know either. I don't know.
The descent of many of the mouse droids reminded me, you know, in the Lost World, the compies swarming Peter Stormare.
Yes.
Yes.
At the end, it's like one is not a danger, but many is.
Yeah. Yeah. R5's just like, I'm out of here, man.
Yeah. Now you're talking. Yeah.
So now Mando and Baby are on to the next level in the game. The next level turns out to be, Matt Romano hit me with the air horns, a cloning storage facility.
The cloning closet.
How happy were you, Matt? How happy were you?
I was pretty happy. You know, anytime I see good old clones and Snokes and Jars and all that
well,
stuff.
Yeah, that's what I honestly
Gideons
thought that we
jars,
were going to see Snokes.
Friend.
I thought we were going to say Snokes for the memories, but... Anyway, this is the result of...
Wouldn't that have been good if he just, like, wiped his hand over the thing and it was, like, Snoke?
It was Snoke. I was fully expecting, like, a little, like, you could just see the outlines and it was, like, kind of bulgy and,
that
like...
That would be crazy. That would be absolutely crazy. Yeah. Not as shocking as what Brian's about to tell us.
I mean, because I don't think we're there yet. But
okay,
this is
right.
What this is the results of Dr. Pershing's work. They aren't Snokes. Moff Gideon is way too self-absorbed to do that because Baby looks in and one of them opens his eyes at him and it's a Moff Gideon clone.
Terrifying.
These are all clones of himself.
It was pretty nuts. I did not see that coming.
It was a lot.
Yeah. It opens its eyes just as Mando just destroys all of them. He's like, nope, and wipes
no,
them all
out. Thank you, not today.
No.
Yep.
No.
That's really what should happen.
Now, that is a bit of a missed opportunity.
As Baby backs away, just no.
Yeah.
And not all at once, one by one, you see, psh, psh, psh,
yes.
Yep.
And it's just like 20 Moff Gideons just falling down like dominoes.
Flopping on the ground like a fish. Yeah.
So
but
dark.
What made this collection of messy bitch clones special? We find out soon enough when Moff Gideon himself, Moff Gideon Prime, hits the scene.
My clones. We're finally going to be perfect. The best parts of me, but improved. By adding the one thing I never had. The Force.
So as expected, this is why Gideon wanted Grogu. It is also a key step in the creation of Snoke, as we were kind of alluding to. And what I'm also assuming is the Emperor's Rebirth, which, if that isn't what Project Necromancer is, I'll eat a hat. This leads to all of that. So it's a step in the process. It's not, though, all of that, Necromancer, Snokes, and everything. That's not what Gideon was doing this for. He wanted an unstoppable army.
Mm-hmm.
Force-wielding, Beskar-clad clones of himself. The union of Jedi, Mandos, and clones, as he alluded to in the previous ep. In this case, the best part of this is probably that the clones are all him. So I'm taking the best of everybody. They're Force-sensitive, they have Mando armor, and they're all me!
And they're also the Mando armor, too. I don't think I necessarily clocked this very much last week, but his armor specifically is like this weird, like, Vader Iron Man thing where he has enhanced strength and, like, it whirs and, like, moves along with him kind of thing. And
I say, did he make these clones taller? I mean, no disrespect, but did he enhance, like, their height a little bit, you know?
You're saying if you made a clone of yourself, Matt Romano, you'd make it taller?
Oh, I'd jack myself up, like, 2 feet. Brian, if I'm cloning myself, sure. Why not?
I mean, are we gonna clone ourselves, or
Are we cloning ourselves, or are we cloning ourselves? Let's do it.
We're playing around here. So, yeah, it's interesting that this is the really important thing here in an overall saga thing is force sensitive clones.
Yeah.
That these either were force sensitive or on the way to being force sensitive. And that is huge. For all time's sake, Matt, hit us with the cannon.
Oh, yeah. We almost forgot we had that thing. Yeah.
That's good.
I didn't. I just didn't feel like using it. Here's a question for Caitlin and Bush and Matt Romano. Do you think they got them all? Do you think they got all the Gideon clones?
I think so.
I don't think so. Only because I
knew you were going to say that.
You knew I was going to say that.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, because I think, like, what's his face in the Council of Spies in the previous episode was asking about Dr. Pershing. And I think that, like, they still obviously need his research for the Necromancer project. And, like, if they can't get it, maybe they'll stumble upon a clone of Giancarlo and extract it from him. But I don't know. I think they feel like Moff is on to something. And although we didn't get to see those beautiful Giancarlones.
Can you just imagine like an well army done. Of Giancarlos just like running at you full speed?
I can. Yeah, exactly. That's one way to create a chicken franchise that you can oversee personally everywhere.
I don't know, but I'd like to see him back. I think, come on. And if it's not Mando, he'll show up in a comic book or a game or something. It's too good.
I want Giancarlo back in the flesh as well.
Yeah, 2 feet taller, wielding a lightsaber.
Maybe it'll be one of those things where, like, it becomes like a Superboy kind of thing where he's bred for evil, and then it turns out he actually, like, has a heart of gold underneath all of that, and then they train him to be on their side.
Now that's crazy. Now you're being ridiculous.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh, okay. It's good that I have a frame of reference.
We draw the line.
Good guy, Moff Gideon clone.
At Kano, draw the line.
While all of this is going on, the survivor Mandos take Bo to one of their hiding spots. It is a garden full of plant life in this cave. This is something that Bo didn't know was possible.
So pretty.
I've only ever seen gardens in the domed cities. I never knew the surface could still sustain plant life.
The Mando Civil War, not the one in Rebels or Clone Wars, the way earlier one, is spoken of. And this connects to both Clone Wars and Rebels, as in both of those shows, we saw that the surface of Mandalore was desolate and everything was kept within the domed cities. So this ties in perfectly to that. It's also possibly another sign that Mandalore is ready to grow once more and for everyone to unite and everyone come back. For unity, that's what's necessary. The symbolism of this, it seems to me at least, is not lost on Bo-Katan because she's bowled over by this. And it really is, Caitlin, as you said, it's really quite beautiful, I thought.
Oh my God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I got a big Genesis vibe, you know, going on down there. You know what I'm talking about?
Can they cook or can't they?
Exactly.
Can I cook or can't I?
And then Bo gets a message from the incoming gauntlets, and it's from the armorer. Her reinforcements have arrived.
I still don't trust her.
Shocker.
I still don't trust her.
The armorer is not a spy.
Come on.
I still don't trust her.
She's not a turncoat. At least not now. She's completely on the level.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if anyone's holding a Giancarlo clone and
Keep workshopping it.
I'm going to work on it. If anybody's got one hiding in its closet, it's the armorer.
See, the minute we now I switch and be like, no, I trust her now. It's all good. She's the next time we see her, she's going to stab someone in the back immediately.
Exactly. She's biding her time. She's too smart for this.
if she's not a bad guy, they did a great job with all the misdirection in this season. Because, I mean, I still don't really know who the spies were in the last episode. Am I missing something?
I was going to get to this in a little bit. I think it's Ilya Kane and the Shadow Council.
Okay. That was about to name the whole episode after them? Like, I don't know. Yeah,
because the Shadow Council is informing Moff Gideon, and he's such a force for the rest of the episode.
Okay. All right.
That's my, I mean.
It's not a bad take.
They've had bigger stretches with titles before.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And some titles are better than others, too, that have like double meanings and whatnot. I don't know. Yeah. I think this is what kind of threw everybody off, that the titling last episode, The Spies, and then everybody had these crazy, you know.
I was convinced that the Mando survivors were going to reveal that they were spies.
Yeah, Mando survivors or Axe or the armor.
That's really, it's not in keeping with what now we see is the theme of this episode and where we've been going all along.
Yeah.
Everyone disagrees, but they're not turncoats. No one's secretly working for the Empire.
Mm.
And we're so not used to that. We're so conditioned that somebody's bad. Everyone has, and they have differing agendas, but they don't have a capital A agenda.
We're all traumatized as we have to.
Yeah. None of these are Empire believers.
Right.
So it's a little hard not to accept, oh, that's the title of that was much simpler than we thought. Wait, all of these people are somewhat not horrible?
Well, it's like all these people learned a lesson about not being divisive and working together. Like, and they try to make you think that's not going to happen, but they
did.
That's
not realistic.
And of course, it's not called Star Peace, is it?
Right.
So
right.
This is not going to last. But for now,
All right. Well, this scene was amazing. The scene was amazing. Them all jumping in. You know, the big end game arrival of all the Mandos. Loved it.
Very cool.
Yeah, no, it's very cool because Mandos rain out of the sky and they join with Bo's little group.
Lady Kreeves, your reinforcements have arrived.
Koska Reeves flying with blasters raised, the armorer flying with her hammers and tools raised, and then Bo-Katan leading them all with the Darksaber held out.
Yeah.
And this is crazy flying Mando battalion flies right into the assembled troopers. And it's just mayhem.
Amazing.
And this was as close to, you know, my heart is with the season 5 Clone Wars episode, The Lawless, where hell breaks loose on Mandalore. This is as close to live action that as we've gotten.
Mandos on Mandos. Well, not Mandos on Mandos, but Mandos on Beskar clad douchebags.
I was going to say, Beskar clad, who the hell knows where all these people are coming from? Who's on the armor?
Who are they?
I mean, clones or something?
I don't know.
Are the Imperial Super Commandos? Are they the new improved Dark Troopers? They're just Gideon's flunkies.
Okay, cool.
Come on out and greet the muffs. We cut back to Mando. Mando is now facing off with Moff Gideon personally, and this is just really a fist fight for the most part at this stage. Yeah.
You know, I was actually thinking about this. It's like it's mano a mano, but like Mando a Mando, you know? It's like, you know, is that
Mando
something?
Mando a Moffo?
Yeah, Mando a Moffo. Is that something? Mando a Mando?
Because Moff Gideon's not a Mando.
Oh, okay. I can't believe.
Yeah, but he's got the whole suit on, you know?
I can't believe I love you guys as much as I do.
Matt, look, you're a great guy. I respect you a lot.
You know, I appreciate it.
I'll follow you
anywhere. You were part of this too, Brian. You encourage this.
That sucks. Mando Amando sucks. If you were talking last week about Paz versus Axe Wolves, that's a fight.
Oh, you mean the Paz dispenser? You know? Oh, he didn't, you know?
Moving
on.
The Praetorian guards return. But Grogu leads them away after they attack Mando, and there's definitely a couple no's in here.
Oh, yeah, this was sad, you know.
IG-12 from the old praying.
His mom, though, he couldn't let him continue. getting beat up.
Yeah. It turns out the IG-12 suit is not so formidable against three Praetorian guards because Baby has to evacuate the suit and he's leaping around the top of the room. He's leaping on the lights.
He's moving so fast. I'm so proud of him.
It's like all the things that Luke taught him. It's like all the stuff he learned in the woods. Yeah.
He can be taught. And
go, all this while,
they're shooting at him, but they don't get him. Gideon is about to get the better of Mando, but Bo-Katan flies into the rescue.
I've got this. Go save your kid.
Nice.
And Mando goes to join Grogu, and Bo takes on Gideon. Gideon then whips out a new kind of electro staff. It's similar to, Caitlin's pointed this out before, to staves used by Grievous's Magna Guards. Mm. It has a little in common with the Purge Troopers that we see in the game Jedi Fallen Order. And it's also a little bit its own thing.
Yeah.
Nice. Like spikes at the end. Yeah. You know, it's a dangerous fruit. Spikes.
Looks dangerous.
So Bo once again is given the chance to surrender the Darksaber, but I don't think so.
Nah.
She and the Moff go at it, and it is a furious duel. And pretty early on, the Darksaber is destroyed. Moff Gideon crushes it.
Because he has his weird Iron Man Darth Vader super strength, like weird metal.
Glove.
Yeah. What is it?
It's the love, Matt? You're saying it was the power of love?
No, glove. Glove. But— glove. He had a glove that crushed it. Yeah, but love it too.
I don't know about that, but okay. And it's just, so the legacy and the, I don't know, personally, I kind of, when this happened, I was like, I'm kind of good with this.
I'm okay
with
it.
As cool as the Darksaber is, I'm like, the legacy and the cycle of violence that it engenders needs to be broken. And I've, as cool as it is, I'm like, I'm good.
It causes too much trouble. I don't want it to render it to a complete plot device, but it very much is a very convenient plot device to cause conflicts within any relationship. I'm not necessarily happy. I'm okay to see it go, but now I'm really curious to see what Matt has to say here.
Well, I think it makes sense, Caitlin, and I think also to daisy chain off that before we go to Matt. What they were talking about last week, what Mando was saying to Bo, it's about finding a leader you believe in and finding a leader who can do it, not somebody who happens to be wielding
who
that
has thing. A sword.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Finding a an actual leader, it doesn't matter who has the bloody thing. Find someone who you'll be happy to go into battle for. Matt Romano, your hot take. Let's have it.
I have a hot take. So the Darksaber is coming back, and Huang.
David Tennant,
lightsaber master droid.
Yep. Yes. David Tennant, lightsaber master droid is going to fix it. Not necessarily in Ahsoka, but this character is going to be around, someday when Grogu's in, I don't know, Rey's Jedi Temple or something. You know, like, how do they, it's going to get repaired along the way. Absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty
hot. Give me that hot take alarm. Or is this a hot wish?
This is a hot wish as well. Absolutely. Okay. This is a hot take and a hot wish. But like, come on. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? I don't know.
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, for one thing, allons-y. For another thing, I think, I did write is, did somebody pocket the remains?
Yeah.
Whatever kind of kyber is pocketing that thing, did they nab that? Because as long as they have that kyber, Huang can build him up, some kind of version of this. They read it, or others can. Luke can.
Exactly.
Luke has that skill now. Ahsoka can.
Yep.
Maybe one day Grogu will.
Yeah, you've got a Jedi part of Mandalorian. The training. Come on. You're going to have the Darksaber back.
Tar Vizsla at the beginning all the way through to Grogu.
Yeah.
You're saying is the legacy of it.
It very well could be. I mean, it conveniently takes the Darksaber off the table, so you don't have to answer any questions about it. You don't have to kill Bo-Katan for it someday, but it can come back, and it'll come back for Grogu.
Maybe come back free of the baggage.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm happy to see. I'm not happy that a cool-looking lightsaber is out of the show. I'm happy that the baggage is gone.
Being gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Because none of us need baggage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then it is reborn, and therefore gets a new life and new meaning to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Reborn,
exactly.
Possibly wielded by the good guy Moff Gideon clone.
hey, and
your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
You know, like a little merchandising.
Grievous is going to come back.
A little merchandising. You know, why not?
Oh man!
Come on! Okay. I'll buy another one.
I know you will.
They're like, okay, we got one. Up top, Axe Wolves takes the entire cruiser and says he's going to dive bomb it into the base. I thought he was going to go down with the ship.
Me too. It was giving a very Kirk Sr. kind of thing, down with the ship in the Abrams.
Yeah.
A little Holdo.
Yeah.
I thought maybe.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he did it, though, because the whole time I was thinking, like, you can jump off, man.
You can do it.
You can totally get out now.
You can do it. You don't have to Captain America this thing. You could realistically jump out of the plane before it hits the water.
As could have Captain America.
Exactly.
And may we add, you have a jetpack. So,
well, yeah, he was like, oh, my jetpack's out. I blew it flying all the way in the atmosphere. Yeah.
It's like, there's no other way. Can somebody else fly in and grab it? But yeah, it's fine because his jetpack's fine. He blows out a window and just flies right out and he's good. The ship crashes into the base. Mando and Baby prove just how strong they are as a team because Mando has the brawn. Baby is using the force. He's force pushing the Praetorian weapons away.
So expert.
Stopping them from hits. And so the team effort here was really something to see, I thought.
Yeah, this was awesome. And what a great use of like a team, how they would team up. It's like Grogu slowing them down so Din can get like, you know, the up and up on them. I loved it.
It's the continuation of when we see in the Clone Wars when the Jedi and the and in Rebels when the Jedi and the Mando do actually team up. You see these two ancient religions and or cultures that have always been at war with each other. They're at war with each other, but also they work really well together. Like their strengths complement each other, and it continues throughout Star Wars for that to be the case to this day.
Yeah.
And also their personal bond, I think, and how they've personally grown together. Yeah. Can't help but inform that.
That's nice.
They take out these Praetorians, displaying what I think the point of this episode and really probably the theme of the season is now as a whole. Now, I said a couple episodes ago, it seemed to be forgiveness, but while I think that's kind of in the mix, I think now, and as we already said, the spies in the previous episode were Kane and the Shadow Council, if we're going to go with that. For now, at least, there's no real nefarious plot afoot. So Bo sums up pretty much what it's all about to Moff Gideon right here.
Mandalorians are weak once they lose their trinkets.
Mandalorians are stronger together.
And I was still thinking, surely it's more complicated than that, but nope.
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 As Dot and George once sang,
we will always belong together.
Adorable. Adorable.
Fantastic. Beautiful.
So we get Bo, Mando, and Baby now triple teaming the Moff.
Yeah.
Come on out so and kill cool. the Moff. And they are truly stronger together because now they're working as a trio. And this is everything we just saw, even cooler. Mondo, Aunt Do, and Baby going at this guy who has really screwed all of them at one point to another.
Yeah.
And then the cruiser hits the base and they're all engulfed in the explosion. All four of them die. End of show. Not really. Moff Gideon seemingly perishes.
Yeah, we don't see a body, and that makes me suspicious.
Yeah. It's a lot of fire, but he is in Beskar armor. Maybe he just rose alive, and also there are all those clones. Giancarlo's great. I don't know.
I don't know. But we've done this like every season finale of this show so far. So like, let's take a break from the Mando Amando on Moff Gideon. Right?
Oh, you mean bring in a different villain?
Bring in a different villain. Like, we've done this dance, you know.
If this isn't the end, it's definitely a break.
Yeah.
With the Moff, and I think it's obvious who they're clearing the deck.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Because I am on my way. So as for the others, this is a fine time to go into everyone's favorite segment, Moments with Baby.
Yes.
Bad baby. Oh, bad baby.
Sorry about that. He's young.
Yeah, bad baby.
Mm-hmm.
Huge baby moments in this episode. Not all like cute moments or whatever else. Big character beats with Baby. We got especially the fact that Baby saves Din Djarin and Bo-Katan from the explosion in the base using the Force. He creates this giant Force, and it's wonderful.
So cool. He's like, he's straight revealed. Up firebending. He's like, he's the Avatar.
Yeah, through the fire, and it's and he's saving them. And you can see how he's grown with the Force, because he doesn't, would this were, you know, a season or a season and a half ago, he would have passed out.
He did that, and he did this in season one. He stopped fire in season one.
And and he full on, you know, dropped.
Instead, now, you know, he just kind of like, he just like kind of sits down and like sighs. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm so tired.
He has an adorable little sit.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what I used to look like sitting down as a baby. After I stopped fire with the Force, that's exactly
absolutely an explosion of a million suns. Yeah.
There are photos.
Did anyone else get also like a little Guardians of the Galaxy 1 Groot, you know, we are Groot moment here?
A little, except he doesn't die.
Yeah, it doesn't die, but it's very much like, I don't know.
I can't say my mind initially went there, but I know what you mean. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Are you going to make some kind of wordplay like Groot Goo or...
We are. This was going to be his first words. We are Groot.
We are Grogu.
This is going to be Grogu's first words.
I thought there was a chance we were going to get his first words, but no.
No.
There was another big moment, you could say, maybe the most pivotal moment for Baby yet in the entire series, coming for both him and Din Djarin, but we'll get to it. On the whole, there were so many puppet acrobatics here. And so many.
It's so cute.
I just loved it. Caitlin and Bush.
It's so cute. And I'm always curious as to the percentage of puppet versus CGI and you know, how much of it are they actually like using the puppet to like flip around in the air kind of thing for it to be even mildly realistic. But yeah, Little Man was just like. He has grown with the Force. He has been doing his homework. He has been meditating. He has been lifting rocks. He is growing as a Force user. And it's only going to get bigger from here, y'all.
Yeah.
He's been doing the work.
He's been doing the work.
Because you got, I mean, you got to do the work.
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 Grogu gets up every day, has
every
a bowl of cereal.
Day.
And does the
he
work.
He has his Wheaties every morning.
Every day.
You've got to do the work.
You got, even when you don't want to do the work, you got to
do
it.
The work.
You got to do the work.
Yep. It's crazy.
Listen, I never want to do the work.
Nobody does.
And,
nobody wants
and
to do the work.
A lot of times I don't.
But
so
Grogu
advice,
does
but
the work.
Grogu does the work. Grogu does the work. Hooray. Everything's great. Back to the living waters. Ragnar. Yay.
Ragnar again.
Ragnar.
He's got another baptism.
Focusing so much on Ragnar? Why is
Did you guys
thing?
See, by the way, there's a fake GoFundMe campaign for Ragnar. It's like this child is now an orphan.
That's just sad.
Somebody tweeted it at us. It was like, how much are you three contributing? And I think I wrote back nothing.
Nothing. Why are we
because Paz Vizsla was his dad.
Oh.
He lost his dad. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that Paz Vizsla died until right now. And now I'm sad all over again.
Wow.
It was sad. The Paz dispenser.
I'm
dispensing
sad again.
Justice.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Matt, we got it the first time.
Okay, it's, I get it.
Who are you, me?
I don't know.
It's like.
I don't know what I've become.
Well, Ragnar, after the whole season began with Baptism Interruptus with Ragnar, finally, they're at the Living Waters, and I know we've been waiting since the very first episode of season 3.
Been at the edge
when
of
is
seats.
Ragnar finally going to finish the baptism?
Yeah, I was very concerned.
And they not only do they finish it off, but right there in the Living Waters, no better place.
Right?
No better place?
No better place.
Mando wants Grogu to be next. He says he's ready to move from foundling to apprentice. The armorer says he can't take the creed because he can't talk.
There's like a moment that focuses, like that zooms in almost on Baby. And I think we all, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we were all wondering, are we going to get Baby's first words?
And he starts making his little croak. And I'm like, is it going to come out like, ready I am. Take the creed, I will.
I'm terrified for if they ever make Baby's
pack I want.
I'm so scared.
It's going to have to happen eventually.
It has to
someday.
Happen, but I'm so scared.
But it's just going to come out normal. It's like, hello.
Yeah, how you My doing? Hey, Brogan. How you doing?
What's going on? Oh, hello, Dad. This is my father, name of Din Djarin. What's going on? Oh, Cobb Vanth, you need help? No problem. Let's go.
Yes, no, yes,
I am
no.
Yes. Grogu the Cool.
No.
talk weirdly, I do not.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Anyway, it doesn't. We don't get Baby's first words. The armorer says his parents could vouch for him, but who the hell knows where they are is pretty much what she says. She senses at the ready. She's like, who knows? Who knows?
This is rude.
Who or what the fuck his parents are? They could be fuck all for I know.
And I'm sorry. I mean, like, hasn't Djarin like been his dad and the whole time?
Already, like, this feels like, so.
Now they're like, where's the permission slip? Like, what is going on here?
No, from his real parents, and then, but that's exactly it. Because then, a moment comes that has been three seasons and a half in the making.
Let it be written in song that Din Djarin is accepting this foundling as his son.
And not just that.
You are now Din Grogu, Mandalorian apprentice.
This is the way.
So they already had this bond, but this makes it official, father and son, and...
Okay, nice.
Does anyone else, and I might be way behind on this. Did anyone assume that it would, like, the naming convention of Din Djarin is really, like, is Din a title? Is Din his...
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I thought it would be Grogu Djarin. And right. I thought Din was his first name, but I have so many. Is it like a
Well, yeah, because it's not Clan Bo-Katan, it's Clan Kryze, you know? So
Bo-Katan's
first name is Bo-Katan.
Kryze, Satine Kryze,
yeah. Yep.
Sabine Wren,
like,
Kristen
like
Wren,
all of the
House Vizsla.
All of the Mandalorian naming conventions have been very Western, and all of a sudden we have a very Eastern naming convention here for...
It should be Grogu Djarin.
It should have been Grogu Djarin.
Yeah, I think they didn't do that because that sounds stupid.
It does. It does. But that's not a reason
I'm
to.
Grogu Djarin.
It's just another weird Mando rule. Like, what are these rules?
What are the rules?
I'm really scared.
It sounds like a techno pop cover band that's about to launch into Pump Up the Jam.
Din Grogu.
Din Grogu.
Hey. No, it's like Grogu Djarin.
Grogu Djarin.
We are Grogu Djarin, and we're here. It's like, so Din Grogu. I mean, you know, it's. I don't think it has to be a standard. Is all Bajorans have this naming convention? It's like their last name's their real name. And
maybe it's more about Grogu's, you know, whole perspective, because he likes to flip his words. Maybe like Crazy Yoda's gonna do, you know. So maybe it's like
my influence he takes. Happy I am. Name I like.
I like that optimism.
I wasn't gonna do it this episode, but you're
anyway
into it. So he's Din Grogu.
Din
and
Grogu.
All right, go for it. Django Fett, Boba Fett. You know, but I don't know. I like it. I think, dare I say it, I think it's a little bit adorable.
No, it is adorable. And I say cannon fire. That's fantastic.
There we go.
Print it on a T-shirt. Put it on the toys.
Din Grogu.
Print it on a T-shirt. Put it on the toys. Got to get going with Din and the boys. Print it on a T-shirt. Put it on the toys. Oh, we're going to multitude joys.
Yeah.
So we then get a glimpse of the Mythosaur beneath the waters, and it doesn't come up or do battle or anything.
But
not to say that that's still not.
It seems like Grogu kind of like looks down into the water, and I almost get a very Ezra communing with the creatures vibe from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Caitlin and Bush, because of all of them, it's like, Grogu sensed it. And as you both have speculated before, Grogu's going to ultimately be the one that's going to have a connection with the Mythosaur, if anyone does.
Going to ride the Mythosaur.
And it's very Ezra. You're
it's
right.
Very Ezra.
From all over Rebels. So maybe that's something Ezra himself will teach him at some point in the future, because that's on the board. It's not off.
Grogu
not,
and Ezra. Holy
it's not
hell.
Off the board. Grogu and Ezra, was there ever any doubt? So it doesn't come up or do battle or anything like we said yet. That's a big yet. And I'd imagine, and how I imagine, again, it was much simpler than what we were laying down. It was a sign to Bo-Katan that things were Mandalore was ready to rise again, that now was the time. It was not a means to an end,
right.
Not a means to seize power. The armorer then heard that this was there, believed the sign when she was told of it. And that's when she gets on Team Bo-Katan and starts integrating the factions because she believes this symbol. No ulterior motive there, really.
Yeah.
Unless something happens next. But for now, so there was no power play with this mythosaur, at least not yet.
Not yet.
It was
not
pure,
yet.
Not yet. But for now, it's kind of pure and honorable. So it was a sign. It's like now it's time for us to put our long division aside and to get together because
we will always belong together.
And all of this is cemented as the gathered Mandos all surround the Great Forge and Bo-Katan reignites the flame. She was her own spark.
Aww.
Wow. I thought you were going to hear a Mando cry out from the crowd, throw another bat baby bird on the Barbie or something in this scene.
No, bat baby birds, I feel robbed.
No, we'll talk about it later. We'll get to the bat baby birds. Right. Yeah.
I mean, so here we have a united Mandalore, and that's, as far as we know, that's all we know so far. It's they're united.
They're
these
recolonizing.
Clans have come together. Back under Bo-Katan with possible like Consigliere, the armorer, and who knows what will happen next. Any guesses? I mean, we already said last week that potentially whatever the Dave Filoni movie is could feature what happens to them. I find it, and I'm wondering if you both agree, it very unlikely, or at least a little tiring if they got conquered again, especially by... you know, neo-Nazi, new Coke, first order motherfuckers.
No, I think this is Mandalore set up now for the significant future of Star Wars. I think they're back. They're back for good. They've retaken it. It's going to be like Navarro. Every time they go back there, they've got like 10 new buildings. The sun's shining just a little bit brighter.
There's children running and playing in the streets.
Children running and playing. Yeah.
They're hitting hula hoops with sticks.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a lemonade stand on the corner.
They're making candles and reciting Emily Dickinson.
Exactly.
It's let them cook.
Yeah, let them cook.
Stop being destroyed.
Yeah, no, we're good.
Let them live, damn it.
Yeah.
So we have a little, that's not it. We have a little denouement, a couple of them. Mando and Son stop by Adelphi Outpost and check in with Carson Teva. We get an even better look here at Dave Filoni as Trapper Wolf. And his hat. He put him in a hat.
There we go. We knew it had to happen.
It's not quite his hat. It looks a little more like a Cad Bane hat, but you get a much better look at it this time.
It's as close to a cowboy hat as we've ever seen in Star Wars. So, you know, we're there.
So Mando tells Carson Teva, he's like, I'm still a bounty hunter by trade, but because now I'm a serious father,
I have
the certificate.
My small son over here to provide for.
I'm going to want to be a little more selective about what jobs I have. So I'm want to work for the New Republic. And Carson Teva can't quite believe this. He's like, I immediately pictured Tim Meadows again and actual red tape. So I'm going to have to get permission. This is going to take a long time. And then they say, what if we just kind of don't tell them and just keep it to ourselves? So they're going the route of forgiveness and not permission in terms of Mando working for the New Republic.
I like that.
And I'm at least... somewhat not relieved isn't the right word, but if I was Carson Teva, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm going to take him on that deal because need him.
I mean, that was his whole thing when he was talking to Tim Meadows is how like they don't have enough support. And Mando is a good guy to call. I mean, he doesn't
one
mess
man
around.
Army over here.
Yeah.
He's got Mando and Baby. You've also got through him.
Yeah.
All Mandalorians are Bo-Katan. Mando says the word Bo-Katan's going to lead a battalion in to help him.
Yeah.
He's also, as we know, got, you know, Boba's loyalty.
Right.
So he's got friends all over town.
Yeah. You want this guy on your team.
I want him on my team.
Well, just this guy who started out the series as the ultimate loner who didn't want any relationships has somehow ended up as arguably one of the most well-connected and well-beloved, like, characters of the Star Wars universe by his fellow characters. And I feel like he's just confused by that every single day of his life. Like,
and not to mention that he's really just 2 feet away from him is the baby Yoda, the Yoda baby, just eating chicken nuggets and French fries
he's
at the bar.
He's just like chowing down.
But yeah. You notice they were like chicken nuggies? Remember we played that song back in the old show?
Yes.
The chicken nuggies.
Oh, the chicken nuggies song.
Give me chicken nuggies. Give me nuggies.
And he's just eating chicken nuggies while he's like
chowing down.
Batman's over here.
Is there something wrong with the word nugget?
Well, no, nuggies was the whole thing, you know.
Why this infantilization of chicken?
Yeah, it was the bit. Yeah,
it was the whole thing.
I know
chicken
it was
nuggies.
The bit, but it's not just you. Everyone's saying, "Oh, it's nuggies." What?
Because that was the thing, you know. That's what they. That was
he
the
was
whole
eating
thing.
Chicken nuggets. Does that help, Brian?
He's a little baby and he eats the nuggies.
No, because you said it. You were sassing me just then.
No.
That was exasperated sass.
Sassing? Never.
Earned. Well earned. I get it. Tag off what you were saying, Caitlin, because I do think that's true. I think that's hilarious. And that's kind of the last thing he wanted. But at least outwardly, inwardly, his heart is leaping at this.
Oh, yes.
I've already seen the take that this season was, you know, too big with too many characters and it edged Mando himself out of his own story. I don't necessarily see it that way. I think he's still the gateway character for all of this to happen. Mm-hmm. Not in a Greek chorus kind of way, but similar at times. I think the Mandalorian could have, as we've said before, could relate to Bo-Katan, could also relate to Grogu. It could relate to many of the characters. I think it's still, the show is still revolving around him. So all of this happened, but it's like, and yes, he's still the lead, but for me, I didn't have a problem with that. Matt Romano, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the title of this episode, I think kind of refers to the Mandalorian, like to Din Djarin, the return, because he kind of is reset at the end of this season and
that's
he's kind of back to,
it is,
you know,
yeah.
Which we'll get to. Yeah.
Yeah. He becomes, you know, this kind of like, you know, he's going to go on the mission
story
of the week. Yeah. No, yeah. Not bounty.
And then
but
everyone's going to complain about that again.
Yeah, well. It's,
everyone's complaining about mission of the week.
Let him complain.
And then they're
let
complaining
him
about Mega. So it's pick a lane, please. or I could just ignore it. Mando's price for his service is an old IG droid head, which is in the bar next to a bunch of helmets. And so they return to Navarro, where presumably Mando has the Anzellans put this on what was left of IG-12, but not IG-12 anymore, because now IG-11 himself is back, voiced by Taika Waititi, and behold, Navarro's new sheriff.
Greetings, citizens. I am IG-11, your new marshal. Your new marshal of Navarro. I am here to serve and protect the citizenry.
There we go.
I am at your disposal, and serve at your pleasure.
He's a marshal.
Hey, loves
he's
it.
So special.
We got him. I can't believe that that paid off. I can't believe that
further,
ended up being a thing.
I thought it was going to be, you know, the Krang suit was going to be the new norm.
Yeah, RIP IG-12. I'm kind of
relieved that we're like, it was a nice bit for a little while, but I think it would have gotten, we had it for just long enough that it wasn't tiring.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Kind of did its thing and we'll move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mando and Baby then take Karga's deal that he laid out at the beginning of the season. He kind of grants this to all of the the Mandos en masse didn't take advantage of Karga's deal for too long, but it was a nice holding place to get away from Dusty Cave shit planet.
Could be worse.
But he's like, oh, I'll get you a little stretch of land. He takes him up on that and he says, great, there's a stretch of land. There's stuff you can do. There's a cabin and a place to go back to between adventures. And we know when we go to this, we see this cabin. We know it's a Star Wars cabin because there's an evaporator right next to it.
Yes. I love the park right next to his N1, like on the driveway. You know,
yes.
I love
this.
Yeah.
And did you guys see R5 in the shot? I'm assuming R5 went with them.
I was going to ask, did he get like, you know, end up back in the New Republic now? Is he back with Pelly? No. Is he on another mission? You know,
yeah. He bought R5 from Pelly.
Oh, so then he should be around. I would hope so.
Right.
I didn't clock him. I was too focused. My heart was too warmed by this very like end of a classic Hollywood Western, like the hero has gotten his homestead. He is finally able to put up his feet, looking out across his land, seeing the kid floating a frog freely,
keeping the helmet on.
I was just going to say, the only thing that would have made it better, I thought they were going to do it in the moment. I was like, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? He was going to take his helmet off and just be like,
I was thinking.
It didn't matter.
There's one scene earlier where we have it from helmet view, which we haven't had in a while.
Yeah.
But he had it on. I'm wondering, it's fully possible that Pedro Pascal was not on set.
I mean, that's been a thing this entire season is like how much people are talking about, okay, what percentage of time is Pedro actually spending in the suit? And the answer is very
zero.
Probably zero.
Since they bumped Latif Crowder and Brendan Wayne up into the main credits, and they're not like at the end, like they're over the concept art before Disney Plus shifts it over to the side to introduce you a new show way too quickly.
Andor. Although every time it's Andor, I'm like, the children. Think of the children. Yeah.
Children.
The first scene.
Oh my God.
They're not as annoying at that as like say HBO Max, or should I just say Max? So Matt, your son has a
I'm really psyched about that.
Happy for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we close out, as Caitlin said, relaxing on the porch, shooting some b-ball out behind the school. Grogu lifts a frog and the frame closes on a tight circle around the two of them, which this is a first for not only this show, but I think Star Wars in general.
It's so sitcom-y, too.
It felt like a Western, like, you know.
Story's
over.
Yeah. You know, we have our homestead. We staved off the raiders from taking our cattle to this day.
Now we got to, you know, we got to protect our land.
Okay, Kevin Costner.
Well, I'll tell you, he's also that's a big target on that cabin. Honestly, he's just out in the open. The N1's there. Anybody flying over with a good camera, it's like, oh, there he is.
There he is,
out of the sky.
Matt Romano. He didn't get a new Razor Crest. He got a Razor Cabin. But
Razor Cabin. That's
first
right.
Episode, first 5 minutes of season four.
Gone.
I'm sorry. I love the cabin, but man, Mando, get some shields or something.
When we finally cut back to this cabin, he'll have a new AM-BAM over the little fireplace.
Right. Yeah, that'd be nice.
The entire thing will be covered in Beskar.
Oh, yeah. Beskar house.
We're not making the same mistakes again. So anyway, the end. That's the episode. Item one, Matt Romano in the hot seat. I want to go right to you. Is your money where your hole is, you gonna Boba Cut or not?
Well, listen,
Boba Cut or not?
I never really, laid out the terms of what a Boba Cut would look like.
Look at the way that he is.
Well,
he
lay
is
them
backing
out now. I would love to hear this.
I'm gonna Boba Cut in that I'm not gonna shut up about Boba Cut about Boba Fett not showing up in this series forever. Now, until I see Boba Fett again, I'm just gonna wonder where he is and be disappointed I don't know.
I don't think that fulfills terms of a Boba Cut, even though we made that up. I don't think that fulfills any of the terms.
What should I do? I don't know.
Where's our signed contract? I gotta find that.
Promise
again.
Is what
it's
it was.
Well, it's another promise from Return of the Pod.
I would like you fulfilled. To say I am not going to follow through.
I am not gonna. I'm not gonna follow through with the Boba Cut.
That was easy.
You know, that's it.
Simple.
Anyway, I think we will absolutely see him again.
Yeah, but going back to what I was saying before, like how the last episode, you know, we speculated that there would be some time between these episodes. They very well could have went around the galaxy and found like all of Mando's friends, which I think would have been interesting. You know, one thing I will say about the episode is that the one thing I was maybe disappointed about was that Din Djarin got out of the jam so quickly. Like I was kind of looking forward to finally somebody coming to help him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Even though, granted, we did see him get a little bit tied up, and then Bo-Katan did come help him with the weird spider thingy where she miraculously got the thing. But I know exactly what you mean.
He's
I was kind of expecting. Yeah.
He's Star Wars Superman. No, but it's like he just always gets out of the jam. You know, it's like,
well, what do you, What do you expect him to die?
Well, no, I don't want him to die, but I think sometimes like it would have been nice.
He just likes his heroes a little battered and bruised.
Spend a couple days in that helmet and see how you like it.
Well, I would also like him to take the helmet off.
I want him to take the helmet off.
That's the reason why I wanted that scene to have. I wanted the helmet to get ripped off.
Well, that's also, yeah, that too. That how crazy a moment that would have that been.
Drink this soup and don't walk away.
Right. A little like Giancarlo ripping the helmet off. That would have been pretty cool. I don't know.
I think all that stuff is cool. I think that would have needed another episode. Yeah. You remember the getting the gang back together when they did it in season one? That was chapter 7. Chapter 8 was the payoff.
Yeah.
So they would have had to do that
I think. I'm not disappointed ultimately that Boba Fett and other characters didn't show up. Like, you know, we didn't get any like Miggs Mayfeld. We didn't get any of him. We didn't get the lady from the farm from season one, you know, that we still never got back to.
I think if every Mando character ever is going to come back, that's a last season kind of thing.
Yeah. But it was all good because they ultimately had a very straightforward episode and didn't need Boba Fett and other characters to save them.
Definitely satisfying with the large amount of characters we already have.
Right.
And looking back on it, if they'd have Boba Fett and Fennec fly in, it would have been too much.
Yeah, too much. Yeah.
It would have taken away from, you know, the armor flying with their hammers. Let's get down to the triple B, the Bat Baby Birds.
Bat Baby Birds.
Bat Baby Birds.
Where are they?
Birds.
Where are they?
Listeners, we have been inundated this past week. And when I say more, I think we've gotten more messages about this than we've ever gotten in our lives.
I think so.
Bush, you had a singing telegram show up to your house.
To my house. And it screamed at me. It was so rude.
It was a meme through singing telegram.
Yes.
It was horrifying.
It was terrifying.
She showed us video.
My roommate hid under her bed.
Yes. And she's not the kind that's going to hide under a bed.
No. That's how terrifying it was.
Yep.
But apparently there's a shot, and we didn't mention it, I think because, first off, we didn't want it to be true, and also I didn't notice during the feast where they must have again all gone off in like groups or something to go and eat in the corners everywhere. There's a big meat rolling on spits and mm-hmm. people are saying that those are the Bat Baby Birds.
Yes.
So I guess that's what they do to foundlings sometimes.
I refuse to accept this reality.
Yes.
I refuse. Caitlin and Bush,
yes.
See, I hate to say it, but I think they did eat them because what a great way to just wrap up that plot point.
Look, the logical part of my brain says yes, absolutely. However, the chaotic, stupid Star Wars monster loving part of my brain says that all of these babies are still alive and well, and they are being treated like the tiny little princes and princesses that they are.
With their little Mando helmets and Mando armor.
That's
the thing. Yes, Matt Romano, going to that extreme is just too tasty a nut for me to refuse.
Yeah.
They have become their noble steeds and they will continue on as Mando.
Noble steeds.
Yes.
I may, our audience has spoken. Brian, yeah, I don't mean to step in.
You did your very first KFC famous poll.
I did one of your famous polls, but I did the poll.
Yeah. Matt's doing the poll.
It's the KFC of it for me, right?
It's the KFC famous poll. And I get so much crap from these two about the famous polls. But Matt's like, now, it's a little attractive. When's CMB going to get in on the KFC CMB famous poll?
All right. But the poll breakdown, 194 votes, all right, over the course of 24 hours, 24.7% checked. They looked delicious, you know, because I think they looked delicious. I voted for that one.
I love a roasted bird.
Who doesn't love a chicken wing? You know, it looks good. Looks good.
I can't blame them.
And then 34.5% said no. And 40.7% said yes. So the majority of our audience believes that those were the Bat Baby Birds.
I voted no.
You voted no. Good to know.
I'm so emotionally distraught right now.
You're not just killing and eating three innocent creatures. You're killing fun that is possible
family.
In a later season.
They are family.
Did they call them foundlings directly? Like, were they called foundlings?
They did, right?
And we have brought you three more foundlings in need of care and training.
Is that so?
They are not just food. They are also folks and fun.
I love how like the blue helmeted Mandos showed up and they were like, oh man, what are we going to feed these guys? And like, well, you know, Orange Mando looks into the corners says, like, how about
those
the birds?
Those are some big old chickens.
Our most recent foundling has to get the spit up the ass and get roasted.
Like, well, we can't feed him Ragnar, so get the Batman birds.
Well, Ragnar still had a dad at that point, so he was really protecting him.
That's true. Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah.
Ragnar. No. I love that that's what we're doing a poll on in terms of that last episode and this one. That's where our heads are.
I always love seeing other Star Wars accounts' social engagement and then seeing ours, because where we obviously...
I feel like it's very...
coming from a different perspective.
It's reminiscent of this.
The show, yeah.
I gesture broadly.
The KFC famous polls are a beloved part of our institution. They just are.
There we go. And it's our brand.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be.
Great.
So there are a lot of leftover threads in this season. We still got Kane alive and operating on Coruscant. Everything New Republic sucking. Shadow Council still out there. Ahsoka!
You're stuck with me, Sky Guy.
We'll surely throw a whole lot back into this mix. So the Mando-verse, for lack of a better way to say it, the Filoni-Favreau-verse, there's still a lot going on. But this, in terms of not just the season, but you I think, Caitlin, I think you said it, it's kind of like an ending and possibly a reset. It felt like an end-end, like not a cliffhanger or anything like that. It was, they're fine, everything's fine. But just in case people are worried that this is the end of The Mandalorian, Jon Favreau has confirmed that the show will have a season 4. Scripts are already written. It may be a while, and we're going to get a lot of other stuff first, but... Who knows when we all know how Mando likes to go and crash other shows.
And it's a rare moment of peace for them. And who knows how long it will last. I would love a time jump. I know that we were talking about that last week, but I would love a time jump here between season 3 and season 4.
Yeah, and I feel like season 4 is the perfect opportunity to set up whatever that movie is. You know, because he's already going to be working with the New Republic. I feel like who's going to be the one that uncovers what's going on or integral in that story? It'll be Din Djarin. And, you know, that's when all the players will start to move into place. And Mando season 4 ends with a gigantic cliffhanger that leads into whatever the Filoni movie is.
Well, maybe, you know, Mando seasons 4, 5, 6, and 7 can all do that.
Yeah, but I think...
I don't want just season 4 and then done.
I'm sensing... I respect that. I'm sensing 4 seasons.
Yeah. Or 4 seasons movie season 5, just because the way time works, they want to get that movie out. They're not getting
this is despite the toxically online takes and everything, this show is still hot. It's people still have the fever.
I got a fever.
It's the streaming ratings or whatever you want, that they're very high.
Yeah.
This is not going away.
Yeah, it's not going away, but they're not going to make this 3 more seasons of Mando before the movie. Like that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We can
introduce a lot of other characters first. Like imagine Din Djarin and Sabine having a conversation.
Oh yeah, well Sabine's got to find out about Mandalore, right? Like that's going to be a big deal.
Sabine and Ahsoka reuniting with Bo-Katan. Oh, Ahsoka having a conversation. We know that they're still in touch because she pointed to Din Djarin where Ahsoka was.
Yeah.
So putting all of those characters, the Bo-Katan, Din Djarin, Sabine, Ahsoka, possibly Luke Skywalker, all sharing scenes together, whatever else. That's exciting to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me too. Yeah.
And not just because I have nostalgia, just because, you know, it's fun.
It feels like that's what would be going on in this era of Star Wars. All these people are alive. Like, I mean, someday we got to find out about Han Solo and Leia in this era. You know, they're just out there kicking.
We know, thanks to books and comics.
We know books and comics, sure. But I'm saying in live action, how is, you know, Leia avoided for much longer? I don't know.
Well,
mention of her.
It's just a little mention.
I'm just saying, like, but like, there's other characters. It's not crazy to think that.
I think a mention is perfect. I think if we get any other legacy characters, it would probably be Chewbacca.
Yeah,
because
there you go.
That's,
you can do that.
It's Eunice Otamo coming in the suit, and
that's simple. Instead of casting a certain age of Leia and or Han.
Because you try and at this point, there's so much involved with recreating Leia and the morality of that, among other things. Mm-hmm. And her story, they specifically kept Luke and Ben Solo and all that out of a lot of the post Return of the Jedi stuff, I think, for reasons like this, possibly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that has been season 3. Any final thoughts on The Mandalorian, Din Grogu, season 3, Caitlin and Bush?
What a season. I think we were talking about this a little bit before before we started recording, and just I need to go back, and I think I need to rewatch all of it in one fell swoop from start to finish, because I still don't know how I feel about all of this. The past two episodes felt so busy, and there was so much and so much that came to fruition. And I feel like there were a few episodes in there that I'm still processing. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to like seeing if now that we have as I said, you know, several episodes again, now that we have the forest through the trees in front of our eyes, maybe we'll be able to make some more connections along the way.
Yeah,
I think that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I look forward to doing the same.
Yep.
Matt Romano, thoughts from you?
Well, first, a few more thoughts on the episode. Ragnar, that whole scene when he's getting baptized again, and then another person gets adopted. Kind of sad, right?
Mythosaur was gonna pop out and stop him.
No, Ragnar was like overshadowed.
No, I was like, yeah, poor old Ragnar got overshadowed, and then gets he watches somebody else get a dad, and he just lost his dad. That's kind of sad. Kind of sad.
Oh no,
poor Ragnar.
Ragnar, beloved Star Wars character.
Anyway, and yeah, Grogu absolutely gonna ride that mythosaur. I don't know. It was in his eyes. He connected with them. Like, that's happening. That's gonna happen.
They're gonna be friends.
They're gonna be friends. I mean, something. You know, I wish streaming services would take more of a chance sometimes and just release episodes two at a time. You know, this would have been great as like an event episode that was like two hours long.
That'd be fun.
You know,
like the 2-episode finale of Bad Batch or the 3-episode premiere of Andor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just that this would have been, I think this would have been better served, not better served, but like a lot more exciting if I got to watch both of them back to back.
I think they do that from time to time, but I agree. I think that would have been cool if they'd done that.
Yeah. And I just like, and if it's all about just filling 8 weeks with content, then make like 7 a really long episode and then save the epilogue stuff for like a 20-minute episode you get on the 8th week or something, you know, like create something, I don't know, play with the format a little bit. Cause sometimes these shows, they're movies now, and like 2 episodes, you know, that's like almost 2 hours. Like, I kind of want to see the whole thing in one sitting.
I mean, for one thing, you lost me using the C word. But for another thing, people don't always know, like, aren't always, they know it's like Wednesday at this is the new episode. They not everybody can follow that. It's different for us where we know.
That's true. That's fair.
But no, I hear you on that. It's also, I mean, we both, there's another show on Thursdays that.
See, that's clouding my whole
thing. It's tonal fandom whiplash.
Yeah.
Where. It's like you're in one world and then to another and
you get ripped out of it.
Yeah.
One of them's just doing some things right now. And I wish Picard.
We're talking about Picard. Yep.
Shut up, Wesley.
I wish that
the other
this
star
season of Mando
thing.
And Picard season 3 were not on at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Cause we'll get to that in a TBD episode, but that definitely played a part.
Last I looked, I don't control things. Anyway, with that, we're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. Don't turn us off.
Hey, Brian.
What?
Just saying hey.
All right.
While I have your ear, have you checked out returnofpod.store recently?
No.
Well, you should. There are a number of fine new items for sale.
Is this a commercial?
It is a commercial. Merchandising.
Merchandising.
Merchandising! Merchandising!
Do you like our different artwork based off of which show we're covering each season? If you visit the store, you can buy mugs and other wonderful things with that artwork. Bad Batch, Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, collect them all.
I don't want to.
Yes, you do. Don't forget about t-shirts and hoodies. We're adding new versions all the time. Want to really get the mini boats message out? Return to the pod.store is here for you.
I wish poison was here for me.
The store doesn't sell that.
But it does have notepads, stickers, and everything else I've already talked about.
Is this over?
Visit returntothepod.store today. Get caught up in it.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars. May the Force be with you. And as always,
many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats, y'all.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
We're back, and that's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
On Apple Podcasts, a hello and thank you to DJ Skeletal, Eric227, and Brandon Pascal for your nice reviews and kind words.
Aww.
Matt Romano, throwing it over to you for additional mailbag socials. Anything else?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff this week. So let me get into it. So first of all, we've got to be thanking a lot of people for buying us a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/returntothepod. We love it and we appreciate it. Thank you so much to Brian Dickey, Deanna J, Taylor Helton, Mike C, at Jamani, and then a big thanks to Ed Marr, who left us a nice message and bought us 10 coffees.
Oh, 10. My God.
Just wow. All the
thankful we are. Yeah, 10 we will drink.
Thank you.
We are thankful for all of it, really. Again, it's what keeps this show going, in addition to all the positive enthusiasm online. But we really appreciate throwing a coin to your witcher.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
Then we had a voicemail. Pat Piper left us a voicemail. I'm not going to play it because we're running a little low on time, but fan of the show, Pat Piper, good friend of the show.
Pat.
He was really disturbed by IG-12, and he brings up a great point.
Ooh.
If the droids are, like, supposed to be sentient and we care about the droid souls and whatnot, they just took this body and stuffed Grogu in it. And it's like this walking corpse.
It's like a zombie.
Yeah, which I can totally I see that, Pat. And there's something a little dark there, you know.
So maybe the Anzellans are really good with droids, but perhaps a little unethical.
Maybe they're responsible
for Project Necromancer.
Oh my gosh. Well, that'll be something if you got like a dark side problem. Listen, we haven't had any good takes all season, so why start now? That's a good one.
Yeah, excellent point. That is a good take.
It's happening.
Then over on Instagram, Alex D. Torres messaged us on April 4th with the hot take IG-11 would become Marshal of Navarro. And by golly, he was absolutely right. He sent me the screenshot. We messaged back and forth about a month ago. Alex, you nailed it. You got it, buddy. Great job.
Regular Scott Simonet over there.
He did it. And then Todd Berza on Instagram and Daryl Weist on Twitter called out that IG-12 reminded them of Bingo from the hit kids show Bluey.
Bluey!
Now, I know you guys might not be all up on the Bluey.
I'm sure that you, however, from what I know of Bluey, I'm sure, Matt, that you are... Your household is a big fan of Bluey.
We watch a lot of Bluey in the household. I'm sure a lot of parents are getting the Bluey in their households. And there's an episode called Dance Mode where the character Bingo gets this toy that says yes or no.
Look, Bingo, you push this.
Yes.
And if you push this one.
No.
And I'm sure any parent that saw IG-12 immediately thought of this episode. I did too.
All of this. Everything you just said, from Bluey to Bingo to the toy, sounds like something you'd find in a red light district.
But also the fact that I understand, like, it's so big on like TikTok that I know what you're talking about.
Oh, I think Bluey's permeating
the
cultural zeitgeist. Yes. Yeah.
You say one syllable of that wrong, you got a completely different show.
All right. So anyway, also in the mailbag, we got a note from Moldy Crow 253, who was commenting about, good name, who was commenting about the Bat Baby Birds. And he said, foundlings, it's what's for dinner.
It's what's for dinner.
So I thought that was funny. Good job.
Dark.
Dark. Oh, dark. Really dark. And then finally, Matt Roberto left us a message in the mailbag. He said, love the pod this season. You guys put so much effort into your work and it really comes across as true professionals. Can you believe it? Look at that.
No.
No.
I can't believe it.
But thank you. That's very sweet.
And one hot wish that Matt has. He said, is there any chance during the season break we can get a deep dive episode on any of the crew's favorites? Indiana Jones, Lord of the Rings, Last Airbender. That Countdown the Rise of Skywalker series was a great listen, and the more the better. And what he's referencing is something from the old show. But, you know, there was a time when we Return of the Pod, and we did this a ton of times in the new show, that we just kind of jump out of the Star Wars universe and we, you know, dive into another piece of content. And Brian, I think you have news on this. You know?
It's that word again. yeah, this goes into kind of what we're thinking, and we'll share it. First off, Indiana Jones, we'd love to do similar to what we did with that old countdown, mm-hmm. Rise of Skywalker. Doing that for Indiana Jones sounds fantastic because so Star Wars adjacent, for one thing, and it's just, well, they showed the trailer of Star Wars Celebration.
And we're also all really big Indiana Jones fans in general.
Love Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Huge.
You call this archaeology?
Yeah. lost at his own museum. It's aside from Asteroid City, Indiana Jones 5 is my most anticipated movie of the summer. So I would say some kind of mini series or something on Indiana Jones is very likely. I'd say an episode about Barbie. Led by Caitlin M. Bush.
Absolutely. I'm so excited.
The Barbie episode hosted by Caitlin Bush coming to you this summer.
Yes.
That's without a doubt.
That I'm sure is probably an inevitability. But aside from all that, all of that in consideration, not aside, we're looking to do at least one more episode in terms of this, our current season, that's going to talk about Mando season 3 as a whole and also go into further detail about all of the different reveals that we got at Celebration that we sped through in our previous episode. We're figuring out when that's going to be. We're going to be covering season 2 of Visions, which is coming out on May the 4th. We don't know when that's going to be either, but we're going to go through each and every one of the shorts a little bit quicker than we did in season 1.
We'll get into it. Yeah.
What are our favorites and whatever else. And we're really looking forward to that. We also were looking to change up the format a little bit more. We're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
We want it not to make it less of a Star Wars show. We want to continue to kind of make it an everything show. When there's Star Wars on, Star Wars to be talked about, we're definitely going to keep that front and center. But we're into a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And so we want to create a format where it can
be anything.
We've said this before. It's we're really wanting to do a way where we can cover anything whenever one of us is passionate about something or all three of us. For instance, there's more than a couple listeners have asked if we were going to do a bonus episode about season 3 of Star Trek Picard.
Shut up, Wesley.
Matt and I are talking about it. We'd very much like to do that. Caitlin has yet to watch, so
I need to do that. And they keep yelling at me about it, and I know they're right.
You're not already spoiled. It's a miracle. But aside from that, nothing is certain. There's a lot going on, but we're working on it. We are. At the very least, I think it's safe to say that in terms of our next full season, Star Wars based Return of the Pod will return for Star Wars Ahsoka.
You're stuck with me, Sky Guy.
Yeah. How can we not? Return for Ahsoka?
Yes.
Yeah. You'll be hearing from us before that. But it's like bonuses here and there. As always, you know, keep your proverbial Romano-sized finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
We will be there for you.
I was going to say, keep an eye on our socials. Definitely continue to leave us voicemails. Like, we would love to do another voicemail show maybe somewhere down the line if you have questions or thoughts on the season of Mando or the future of Star Wars in general. Anything.
Let us know if you want the Celebration Mando Season 3 wrap-up to be another Captain's Corner Spotchka Night Spectacular.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Merv Griffin!
Let's not get crazy. We'll see.
I mean, that sounds good to me because that's less boring.
But interviews, there's a lot of people we want to talk to. So I don't know. Maybe we're making a lot of classic Return of the Pod empty promises, but we are going to have fun between now and August. That's for sure. It's going to be a little bit of a crazy few months.
It's going to be a
Caitlin and Bush,
summer.
You ready for fun?
I'm ready for fun. Are you ready for fun, Brian?
I'm ready for fun. Matt Romano, are you ready for fun?
I'm always ready for fun.
You got a fever?
I've got a fever.
Say it, baby.
Caitlin and Bush, you got a fever?
I got a fever.
Say it, baby.
Cock and a walk, baby.
Cock and a walk, baby.
Cock and a walk, baby. All right. Who wouldn't want more of this?
Seriously.
This is great.
Okay, with that, we're going to buckle off. But join us again soon for all of the stuff that we just talked about. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at Return of the Pod. You can find our website at returnofthepod.net, where you can leave voicemails. You can visit returnofthepod.store. We can buy all kinds of merchandising.
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 Merchandising. Merchandising.
And you can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/Return of the Pod. You can also find us directly every so often. Caitlin and Bush can be found where?
I can be found when someone crushes the next Darksaber at Caitlin and Bush. That is C-A-I-T-L-I-N-M. Bush like the beer and like the presidents.
Matt Romano, your razor cabin in the lava flats can be found where?
You can find me with my N1 parked in the driveway at Matt Romano, M-A-T-T-R-O-M-A-N-O.
And I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and my ever-growing, wonderful, beloved Letterboxd at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N, S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke 'em if you got 'em. Take it sheevy, and remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. Many boats, and be the spark.